morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cameco Corporation Fourth Quarter and Year-End Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Bob Lilly, Director, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Lilly.
Thank you, Operator, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Cameco's Fourth Quarter Conference Call to discuss the financial results. Thank you for joining us. With us today are four of Cameco's senior executives. They are Jerry Grandy, President and CEO, Kim Goheen, Senior Vice President and CFO, George Acey, Senior Vice President, Marketing and Business Development, and Tim Gitzel, Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer. Jerry will open the call with comments on Cameco's operating results and updates on our operations, development projects, and global markets. Then we'll open it up for your questions. Today's conference call is open to all members of the investment community, including the media. During the Q&A session, please ask one question plus one follow-up if needed. Please note that this conference call will include forward-looking information, which is based on a number of assumptions and actual results could differ materially. Please refer to our annual information form and MD&A for more information about the factors that could cause these different results and the assumptions we have made. With that, I'll turn it over to Jerry.
Okay, and thank you, Bob, and welcome to all of that have joined us today to discuss Cameco's fourth quarter and annual results. With a global economic recovery that has been slow in starting, not everyone has reported 2009 as positive. But for Cameco, 2009 was a very good year. It was a year which saw a new record for revenue, a 30% increase in cash from operations, and production success from each of our operating assets. The second to the last day of 2009 saw the successful exit from the gold business. This allowed Cameco to enter 2010 as a pure-play nuclear energy investment. This long-anticipated milestone was in keeping with Cameco's vision of being a dominant nuclear energy company, producing uranium fuel and generating clean electricity. We intend to retain and strengthen our leading position as a trusted supplier to utilities around the globe, and our goal is to double our annual uranium production to help fuel the nuclear renaissance. We have said doubling our production can be achieved by building upon our existing foundation, a strong and diversified mineral asset base that we have developed over the past decade at locations around the world. In 2009, our internal program to strengthen operations at existing mines paid dividends. Output from each and every one of our five operating mines surpassed their production levels of 2008, and either met or exceeded their forecast production for 2009. A few examples tell the story. At McArthur River, new milestones were achieved in the mine's development. The extensive preparation work, including the innovative freeze wall development required for mining the next two zones, was successfully completed. We expect these two zones will now provide access for ore for the next 10 years. This demonstrates our ever-increasing understanding of how to operate within the challenging geology of the Athabasca Basin while achieving our production forecast from existing zones. At Key Lake, a well-planned and executed mill maintenance shutdown taken last spring allowed uninterrupted production for the remainder of 2009. As a result, Key Lake took advantage of the new flex production provisions within our license, and this added another 200,000 pounds to Cameco's share to close out the year. At Rabbit Lake, consistent production continued as the Eagle Point mine entered new development areas, with exploration continuing to identify resources that hold the promise of an extended mine life. Production goals were exceeded at our U.S. in-situ recovery operations, and the ramp-up of production at our Inkai joint venture occurred at a pace greater than what was anticipated. Inkai is on track to reach its initial license limit by 2011. In fuel services, we saw both increased realized prices for conversion services, and higher production as our Port Hope facility returned to steady operations in the last half of the year. And at Cigar Lake, our systematic and deliberate approach to remediation was evident. The dewatering phase is over. Now that we can walk through the 480-meter level, we are in a position to assess the condition of the underground workings. After that, we will undertake the final stages of remediation before we resume development work. After reviewing our progress and successes thus far, the regulator in December approved a new 4-year license for Cigar Lake. This approval coincides with our own increasing confidence as we move toward production in mid-2013. In the coming weeks, we will release the detailed technical report on Cigar Lake that will provide further clarity on our plans to mine this extremely valuable deposit. Bringing Cigar Lake into production remains a cornerstone of our goal of doubling Cameco's uranium output. We intend to produce 40 million pounds before this decade is out. World uranium supply must grow to meet the demand being created by the global nuclear renaissance. Skeptics who dismiss the idea of a nuclear renaissance ignore the accelerating momentum. They look at the entire global reactor fleet and see that in 2009, there was no net gain in reactors. However, this overlooked the more than 50 reactors in various stages of construction or final planning, and many of these will be fueled and ready to start operations by the middle of this decade. In China alone, state planners want the electrical output of their nuclear power sector to increase sixfold by 2020. 11 units are now operating, and construction is underway on 20 more at 10 different sites, with others being planned. And that's just in China. India is already reaping the benefits of nuclear cooperation by supplementing their own domestic uranium fuel supply. Currently, some 4,500 megawatts of electricity comes from existing nuclear plants in India. By 2020, the government wants to have at least 20,000 megawatts of installed nuclear capacity. This could rise to 63,000 megawatts by 2030 through building clusters at new reactors, existing sites, plus the addition of at least 5 new nuclear energy parks. In South Korea, which operates 20 reactors currently, there are 6 reactors under construction and 6 more in the planning stage. In Korea, we have seen recently joined the world of new plant vendors with the successful sale of 4 reactors to the United Arab Emirates and aggressive plans to do more in other developing countries. As a result of this new build activity, utility companies from South Korea and Japan are joining Chinese and Russian state companies in a competition to be an investment partner in new uranium projects around the world. These decisions to build new reactors are all being made in the emerging economic powerhouses of Asia and the Middle East. The countries in the West, where nuclear energy programs were pioneered, are also taking steps to renew and expand their capacity. In the U.S., it has taken a year for the new administration to realize the benefits of nuclear energy and settle on a path that will address climate change in a meaningful way. Last week, President Obama declared his clear preference for nuclear power as a baseload generating source. The first loan guarantee of $8.3 billion has been earmarked for 2 new units in Georgia at Southern Company's plant Vogtle, where site preparation is already underway. As a result of the administration's commitment to an expanded loan guarantee program, the planning and regulatory process will continue, and other utilities will move forward in the coming months. In the United Kingdom, construction of new nuclear plants remains the leading contender for heading off the looming power shortage in that country. As we have said, we need to look beyond today's relatively weak spot market price for uranium. This current reality reflects the fact that the world's utilities are well covered for the next few years when relatively few new reactors will start up. But with a total of 53 reactors in various stages of construction around the world, suppliers must take steps now to meet this increase in demand. And that is why Cameco is building upon our reserves and resources to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming. In the past 3 years, our well-funded exploration program, working within our own extensive land base, has paid benefits to Cameco. Additions to our reserves and resources exceeded production by an average of 15 million pounds per year in each of the last 3 years. We intend to continue to build upon this resource endowment to achieve organic growth as we go forward. However, the acquisition option remains open. And on that point, let me reiterate our strategy. Our financial position at the end of 2009 is strong, including $1.3 billion in available cash. But let us be clear, the money is not burning a hole in our pockets. The financial position gives us great flexibility. We intend to take our time to ensure that any new investment will bring real value to our shareholders. With both an enviable balance sheet and an extraordinary reserve and resource base to build upon, Cameco has a number of pathways to reach our goal of doubling production. But you can rest assured that the pathways we pick will be the ones that will add the best long-term value to Cameco. And with that, I'll turn the call over to the operator for questions. Thank you.